You need to put yourself in a place where the word of God is being shared. You need to put yourself in a place where there's some wise, godly people around you. You need to put yourself in a place where the environment is as such, where you're being uplifted and encouraged in the things of God. You are not going to receive the promise of God unless you put yourself in a receptive mode.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Filing Under Chapter 11, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Filing Under Chapter 11, Part 2.
Bibles to Hebrews Chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and chapter 1, and it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And in Hebrews chapter 11, this is what's known as the Hall of Faith. In sports today, and even in rock and roll, you have the Hall of Fame. But here we see God's Hall of Faith, and we have such a great company here as Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and the parents of Moses and Rahab and Joshua and all these heroes of the faith. And I started the message last time by saying this is where we want our names to be. We want our names in the Hall of Faith. We might not ever get into the Hall of Fame, but we could get into the Hall of Faith. And then I shared the illustration how that in the business world, when a business is bankrupt and they file for bankruptcy in order to protect themselves from their creditors coming after them, they file under Chapter 11. Now, we don't want to file under that Chapter 11. But here's one chapter 11 we want to file under. We want our names filed under this chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11. We've talked about the first two points of the message, and we're going to finish those second two points. But we are using the word rest, R-E-S-T, that if you are going to exercise faith, if you want to be filed under Hebrews chapter 11, you've got to rest. Well, what do we mean when we say rest? The R stands for receive the promise of God. The E stands for embrace the promise of God. The S stands for step out on the promise of God. And the T stands for think on the promise of God. We talked about receiving the promise of God, and we said that in order to receive the promise of God, that you've got to put yourself in a place where you can be receptive to the promise of God. I gave the illustration last time that if you are looking for a radio broadcast that's on AM, you are not going to find it on the FM frequency. You can stay on FM all day long, but you won't find it because it's on the AM frequency. And so it is with God, that in order for you to see God do something great, in order for you to have faith, that you've got to put yourself in a place where you can receive the promise of God. And then we talked about these great saints. Look at verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet." So what did he do? He was warned by God. How was he warned by God? He put himself in a mode where he could receive what it was that God had to share with him. We read about Abraham in verse 8. "By faith, Abraham, when he was," look at this, "called to go into a place which he would after receive for an inheritance." He was what? He was called. Called by who? Called by God. So what did he do? He put himself in a place where he could receive a promise. That you've got to put yourself in a place where you can receive the promise. Look at verse 17. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had," look at this, "received the promises, offered up his only begotten son." So in order for you to have faith, The first thing that you've got to do is that you got to put yourself in a receptive mode. You're not going to be in a receptive mode by hour after hour doing things that are ungodly, by putting yourself in places where you're being fed the garbage of the world. You are not going to be in a receptive mode to hear from God. You are not going to be in a receptive mode to receive what it is that God has to share with you. So in order for you to have faith, my brothers and sisters, the very first thing that you have to do is that you've got to put yourself in a place where you can receive. You need to put yourself in a place where the word of God is being shared. You need to put yourself in a place where there's some wise, godly people around you. You need to put yourself in a place where the environment is as such, where you're being uplifted and encouraged in the things of God. You are not going to receive the promise of God unless you put yourself in a receptive mode. And then we said, secondly, the E stands for embrace the promise of God. What does that mean? That means that you've got to accept it as if it's already happened. Now, I did an extensive teaching the last time, and I don't have time to get into it this morning. I'll have to get the notes for you. But we did an extensive teaching last time on the Word of Faith movement, and we went over the five doctrines of Word of Faith. And so we said that, you know, in order for you to receive the promise, you got to embrace the promise. And look what he says here in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 11. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We said that word substance means it was a thing that stands under the physical object until you get it. And remember, I had the Red Lobster card. I gave that illustration last time. I said I had a Red Lobster card. And that Red Lobster card shows that I could go to Red Lobster this afternoon and show this card and have a seafood meal. You say, but I don't see a seafood meal. But I've got the card. And the card says that I can have a seafood meal. But where is it at? It's at Red Lobster. This card takes the place of the meal until I go there. And so it is with your faith, that whatever it is that you're trusting God for, that you need to have the faith to believe that it's going to take place until that thing actually comes. I'm trusting God. I believe that God is going to do something great. I'm waiting to see what God is going to do as we step out and as we move ahead. I believe that God is just going to do something so fantastic. As we built that building, let me go down memory lane for 1 minute. As we built that building across the street, all we had was a building. And we were able to finish the first floor. No furniture, nothing. Nothing. As a result of God, Pastor Glaze got a first-class office that people downtown would be jealous of. Not because Bethany put all this money out to provide this office for their illustrious pastor. No, no, no. It was given by an organization downtown who just bought the furniture. It didn't go along with their color coordination, and so they gave it to us. Praise God for color coordination. Chairs. We can seat 150 to 200 people in the gym with round tables and chairs that were donated to the church. Chairs upstairs donated. Oh man, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And always sometimes we just need to stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. And so I'm standing back looking. I'm standing back waiting. I'm standing back expecting a miracle. Oh, I'm not out here speaking things into existence. I'm not out here directing and dictating to God what he needs to do. But I, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, by faith, now faith is the substance. Faith is the thing that stands under the thing that you're trusting God for. That it takes the place of that thing until you get the thing. And so I've got faith. I can see it. I can see what God is going to do. And you know what? I just believe. And let me say this, that I'm moving on. Let me say this, I'm moving on. Let me say this. I want to say this the right way. I believe that Bethany is too important to the kingdom of God for God to let us go down. I just believe that. I just believe that. That we are too important. Now, the reason I hesitated saying it, I don't want to say it from a self-serving or from an egotistical standpoint, but there's just too much happening here. Too many needs are being met. Too many people are being ministered to for God to leave us out there hanging. And so I believe by faith that God is going to work a miracle. And I'm going to stand in this pulpit one day and I'm going to say, I told you. I told you. But see, you've got to embrace it. You've got to take hold of it like it's already there. I mean, and you know what? I'm not talking about for us as a church only. I'm talking about you and your personal life. You know, when was the last time that you were stretched? Honestly, when was the last time that you were stretched to reach out and hold on to a promise from God? And that's all that you had was a promise from God. See, you know, like I said, you know, our problem sometimes is that we've gotten too comfortable. Man, I thank God that we got to do what we got to do today. I thank God, because, you know, it'd be easy to get into this, what I call bobblehead ministry. What is bobblehead ministry? God is good. That's right, Pastor. That's right. God will provide your needs. That's right, Pastor. That's right. A lot of bobbleheads. All right. You know, we're not looking for bobbleheads. I believe God has put us into a place where we got to say, not only is God, but we got to trust him. Put your back up against the wall and say, okay, now, God, you got to work here. You know, this thing is on you. You got to work this out. And sometimes God brings you to that place in your own personal life where you got to sit back and just say, well, God, you know, unless you make something happen, this thing is not going to happen. So the R, that you got to receive the promise. The E, you've got to embrace the promise. And then let me move on quickly this morning to the S. And the S is that you have to step out on the promise of God. This word, evidence, look at what he says here in chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This word evidence is a powerful word. If you have your notes this morning, you know you can read along with me. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Listen to this. The word evidence actually means conviction, a strong persuasion or belief. The individuals mentioned in this chapter were so convicted by the promises of God that they stepped out on them. See, this is more than just some casual belief. This is more than just God is good. This is more than just, oh, he'll make a way. This is more than just I've seen him do it before. But the word evidence means that you are convicted and that you believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that this thing is going to come to pass, so much so that it causes you to move on out into some kind of action. Now let me show you now. Verse 7. Noah, well, he was convicted. He was convicted by God, being warned of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. It said Noah was so convicted by God that he went out and he built a boat. Noah, what are you doing? I'm building a boat. Why are you building a boat? Because God told me to build a boat. But look, man, the water is miles away. Why are you building here on land? Because it's going to flood. Man, the water is not coming this far inland. Well, I don't know how God is going to do it, but God told me to build a boat. They never seen rain before. Didn't know what rain was all about. Rain? What is rain? And Noah built the boat by faith. He was so convicted that for 120 years, he stood out there and pounded on that boat. Man, you got to be the craziest fool in the world standing out here. What in the world are you doing, man, all these years building a boat? See, when you got a conviction in your heart, When there's a conviction in your heart, you step out on it. Verse 8, by faith. Let me just change. Can I change it for a second? Let me substitute by faith and let me say under conviction. Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out and he didn't even know where he was going. You got to be convicted to do something like that. You got to be convicted. Pastor Glaze, where are you going? I'm going to Lynchburg, Virginia. Where are you going to stay? I don't know. How are you going to provide for your family? I don't know. God just told me to go. Man, you got to be the biggest fool in the world. You got a U-Haul on the back of your car with a little bit of change in your pocket, and you talking about you going to seminary. What you talking about, man? By faith, you going to seminary. What's wrong with you? By faith. I didn't know what in the world. You know, as a matter of fact, I was a little concerned about that word Lynch. But then I got there and found out that the city was named after a man by the name of John Lynch. So I was cool then. But you know, by faith, he went out. He left his country, and he didn't even know where he was going. So convicted in his heart. Look at verse 24. Under conviction, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Under conviction, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Under conviction, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Under conviction, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. See, conviction, this thing, faith is, once again, it's more than just a casual thing now. When you got faith, there's a rooted conviction that's down in your heart, that's down in your spirit, that makes you move out. Oh, look at verse 31. By faith, the harlot. See, that just goes to show you that you can be anywhere and get in this game. You can come from any background and get in God's game as long as you got faith. By faith, under conviction, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not when she received the spies with peace. Under conviction. See, brothers and sisters, I'm saying that when you got faith, it's easy to sit up here on Sunday morning and talk about faith and pray. But faith means that you go and that you put your foot to the road. Yeah. It means that that there's some moving out and there's some action. There was an actor who this preacher came up to once, and he said, I want you to explain something to me. He said, well, what is it? He said, can you tell me what's the difference between me and you? The preacher said, you appear before crowds night after night with fiction, and the crowds come wherever you go. He said, I'm preaching the unchangeable word of God, and I have a hard time getting any crowd at all. And the actor thought, and he said, well, the answer is quite simple, my brother preacher. He said, I can tell you the difference between you and me. He said, I present fiction as if it were truth, and you present truth as if it were fiction. And you know what? That's a shame that, you know, you can look at Hollywood, folk that can't even keep a marriage together. You can look at Hollywood, folk that get in all kind of trouble, and they can be so convicted about their acting, and they can be portraying somebody up on the stage to the point that it has folk standing there in their seats crying. Folk every day between 12 and 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock. No. Oh, no, you're not going to leave him, are you? No, you're not going to. Oh, no, you're not going to leave him, are you? All right. Folk so gripped by an actor who stands up there with fiction, but does it with such conviction that you follow it. And yet still, we as Christians, we lead this casual life. No conviction in our life. No gumption in our life. No bite to our faith. We just move through this, and we got the real deal, and we move through just like it's fiction. We need to get some faith with some grip in it. We need to get some faith with some bite in it. We need to be able to step out and stand on the promises of God. Man, I heard about a guy who went to his pastor. And he said, Pastor, God let me down. And the pastor said, well, how did God let you down? He said, I got this eviction notice from my landlord. And I figured that if I just went and sat, she said she was calling the police to come evict me. And I figured if I just sat on the front lawn that and pleaded my case with the policeman, that they would let me stay. He said, I got my chair. He said, I sat out on the front lawn. The policeman came with the eviction notice and evict me off of the property. And I pled my case with them, and they took me off and evicted me. He said, I asked God to help me. I asked God to help me be able to get back in my apartment. He said, Pastor, what, God let me down. What happened? And the pastor said, well, I can tell you exactly what happened. Instead of sitting on the premises, you should have been standing on the promises. And I'm here to tell you today that we got too many of God's people sitting on the We got too many of God's people sitting on the premises, and they need to be standing on the promises. We just sitting, oh, I'm waiting for God, waiting for God. You need to be standing on the promises. You need to grab a hold of a rhema. You need to grab a hold of one of those promises and say, I'm going to hold on to this promise, and I'm going to hold on to it and believing that God is going to work it out. Look at Joshua chapter 3 with me real quick. Joshua chapter 3. And God told the Israelites that they were going to go into the promised land, and he was going to move them ahead, and that they would take the promised land city by city until they inhabited the whole promised land. But first they had a little obstacle. Oh, yeah, I wasn't even going. Let me throw this one in for free. So y'all who gave money in the offering this morning, you can take a dollar back, because this one is free right here. I'm not going to charge you for this one. I just thought about this just now. But look, I was going to verse 14, but the Lord directed me back. Look at verse 5. Here they were getting ready to go across the Jordan. And look what Joshua said in verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourself. See, sanctify. We're looking for God to do something. I hope you sanctified today. I hope if you voting today, I hope you sanctified. I hope you sanctified. All right, that's free. All right, let me get on to my point. Verse 14. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over the Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they who bore the Ark were come unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for the Jordan overflow all its banks all the time of the harvest. We're talking about a flood here. We're talking about a flood. Overflow? There's a flood. But look what the priest did. The priest went and put their feet in the water. All right? And in verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in one heap very far from the city of Adam that is beside Zarethan. And those that came down toward the sea of the south, even the salt sea, fell and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were completely passed over the Jordan. See? Very intimidating. Very, very intimidating.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Filing Under Chapter 11, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Filing Under Chapter 11, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Filing Under Chapter 11, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Filing Under Chapter 11, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.